Okay, we might just start the meeting now, please. Can I start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and pay my respect to elders both past and present? Welcome to today's meeting of the Camden Local Planning Panel. My name is Michael Manty and I'm the chairperson of today's meeting. The other panel members today are on my immediate left, Mary Lynn Taylor, on my far left, Sue Francis, and on my right, Debbie Dewberry. In accordance with the Camden Council's operational procedures, this meeting is being auto-recorded by Council staff for publication on Council's website. No other recording by any video camera, still camera or other electronic device is permitted without the approval of the panel. There are two development applications on today's agenda. The role of the panel is to determine those development applications either by approval or refusal, or in exceptional circumstances, deferral subject to deferral to enable additional information to be submitted. For the record, each of the panel members has inspected the site of the applications on today's panel. We've been provided with the council officer's report and attached documents. We can't receive any additional information from the floor if you're here representing an applicant. If you do wish to make an amendment to the application, you'll need to request the panel to defer determination so that that application can be submitted, that information can be submitted to the council officers and assessed in the normal way. At the conclusion of the public part of this panel meeting, the panel will convene in private and agree on its findings and prepare the minutes. The panel's minutes will be published on the council's website within, I think it's 48 hours or thereabouts, and the notices of determination will be issued to by the council officers in due course following the panel's minutes. Before I call the first item, can I call on panel members to declare any conflicts of interest?
Mary Lynn Taylor, no conflict of interest.
Sue Francis, no conflict of interest.
Deputy Dewberry, no conflict of interest.
And I have no conflict of interest either. As I said, there are two development applications on the panel's agenda for determination today. The first is development application number 2021/1220/1, construction of the Oran Park Tavern with associated site works at 2 to 4 Porter Street, Oran Park. The council officer's recommendation is for refusal of the application. I have three people listed to speak against the recommendation. And does anyone want to go first out of those three people? We've got Rennie, oh, beg your pardon. We've got Rennie, yes? Sorry, yeah, would you like to speak first or... would Edith or Marcelo like to speak? Okay. You want to just come up to here, please?
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to present today in response to Council's assessment report and recommendation for refusal of the development application for the Oran Park Tavern. So we understand that the panel may have been provided with a copy of our written submission earlier today. We appreciate that you may not have had the opportunity to review that prior to the meeting. So we'll use our time today just to discuss that submission and the key points that we wanted the panel to consider. So in that regard, we acknowledge that there are five reasons for refusal, and these are largely informed by firstly the slip lane design and secondly the number of on-site car parking spaces provided for the development. In regards to the slip lane, on the 23rd of August 2022, the applicant received correspondence from Council identifying two key reasons for refusal of the DA. The first being the fundamental differences between council's traffic engineer's calculation of car parking and the applicant's traffic and parking consultant's calculation of car parking. And the second reason that was identified for refusal was the length of time the application had been under assessment. That letter from council did not specifically identify the slip lane design as something that was not resolvable. The feedback was there were comments provided that were intended to guide and inform the design of the slip lane. So in response to that, amended sketch plans were provided of the slip lane, and these were tabled at a meeting with council staff, the traffic engineers, on the 15th of September. So council's engineers were supportive of the revised slip lane horizontal design, but did request further information and plans for the two options, either being a rigid pavement or a flexible pavement. And it's our understanding that both options are acceptable to council, the only difference being the depth of cover required for services. So noting that these are the only outstanding issues for the slip lane design, we believe that they can be resolved through conditions of development consent, which would ensure the safety of pedestrians and motorists using Dick Johnson Drive. And we respectfully request the panel's consideration of this approach. The second matter raised by council in respect to the reasons for refusal is the number of car parking spaces provided for the development. Council's assessment report, as well as the correspondence of the 23rd of August, both make reference to the provision of car parking at a rate of 9.6 spaces per 100 square metres of public floor area as being an acceptable rate to apply to the development. It is also council's view, based on the assessment report, that the kids' indoor play area, brew house and bottle shop are public spaces that attract a parking demand and to which the car parking rates should apply. It's also noted that the bottle shop should attract a parking provision of one space per 30 square metres of gross floor area. So in response to council's assessment, we provide the following comments for the panel's consideration. So the assessment report acknowledges that the kids' indoor play area attracts a parking demand as it can easily form part of the bistro without requiring any modifications. We do not agree with this approach, as the use of this area, in our opinion, can be adequately managed through conditions of development consent, as well as through the plan of management, which will accompany the ultimate licensing approval. Mr. Colosimo from Memento Hospitality, the proponent, will make further submissions in relation to the operational experiences and readily justify the inclusion of the indoor kids' play area in the development. So having the benefit of understanding an acceptable car parking rate for council, amended architectural plans have been prepared. These formed part of the submission to the panel, which remove a public floor area component of the brew house. So this area is now identified for storage purposes associated with the brewing production, such as kegs, bottles and cans. Okay, thank you. Mr. Colosimo will also provide operational details of other Memento hospitality establishments where this arrangement is readily justifiable. It is our assertion that the use of this area for storage only can also be adequately addressed through conditions of development consent, as well as through conditions in the plan of management, which will form part of the licensing approval. So in response to the advice provided by council, another amendment to the design is the incorporation of a lineup and condiment station forward of the kitchen area in the bistro. This is not an uncommon arrangement for bistro areas, and Mr. Colosimo will also speak to this. In terms of car parking numbers, we note that the bottle shop provides two parallel car parking spaces, which satisfies council's requirement for one car parking space per 30 square metres of gross floor area. Utilising the agreed rate of 9.6 spaces per 100 square metres of public floor area, when you exclude the gaming room, a parking requirement of 122 spaces is required. The development provides 127 car parking spaces. In terms of the gaming room and the management of that area, it is proposed to limit the number of gaming machines to 30 and a maximum of 30 people in the room at any one time. This equates to 5% of the total maximum patronage of the pub. Memento Hospitality has implemented this arrangement in other establishments, and Mr. Colosimo will also speak to this. Again, we are of the opinion that this area can readily be managed through conditions of consent as well as the plan of management. It's on this basis that we do not consider the floor area of the gaming room to be relevant to the calculation of car parking spaces. It's our opinion that parking provision for the gaming room during the non-peak operating times for the pub would be easily met through the surplus parking on site. And during the peak operating times for the pub, it is highly unlikely that patrons will be visiting the pub solely to play the gaming machines. I've got just a minute left. The playing of the gaming machines during the peak hours generally tends to be ancillary to the other reasons people are coming to the pub, and the car parking has already been accounted for. So in addition to the car parking spaces provided, the development also provides 9 motorcycle parking spaces, and the proponent has agreed to provide a courtesy bus for patrons. Important to note is the fact that the peak traffic generation within the Oran Park employment area, internal road network, will not coincide with the peak operating times of the pub, and further, the pub is not located within a residential area. It is for these reasons that we consider the proposed number of parking spaces provided to adequately cater for the parking demand at peak operating times, with no unreasonable or unsatisfactory impacts on the surrounding transport network. We thank you again for your time and your consideration of our submission. And in respect to the additional information that has been provided, we request the deferral of the application for the amended plans to be tabled. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Colosimo, or...
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Yes. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry, can you... I should have given the opportunity for panel members to ask questions.
Sorry, we're not used to being out in public, are we? just one question, just my ignorance, and it might be in the report and I've just missed it. When you're calculating the floor area, the public floor area, did that include the garden terrace and the sports terrace?
Yes, it did.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to check. Thank you.
Any other questions from the panel? Sorry. Yes, can you... If you... Come to the front and tell us who you are and what your role in the process is.
Sorry, my name is Edith.
Yes.
I'm from Archibiosis Architects. Just to clarify an answer to that, on the plans that Council were reviewing for the purpose of their letter, the dining terrace was still considered a public area. In our amended plans, which you have a copy of, that dining terrace was removed.
Yes, that's why I only asked about the garden terrace and the sports terrace, which is to the south, the western, now apparently fresh produce garden. I assume you've excluded that, but the other two are included.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Would you like to stay if you've got anything else to say to the panel?
I don't need to say.
Here to answer questions?
Yeah, just to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Marcello Cosmo from Memento Hospitality. We're the proponents of this application. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to panel members and council officers. Memento is a family-run business. We see pubs as a community asset, and our business reputation is regarded as one of the best hospitality groups in Australia. We're currently in the finalists for both the AHA and Australian Liquor Industry Awards for this. Our specialty is building new venues in growing areas, and we've been doing so for over 30 years. We've never had an hotel application refused or rejected, and because our integrity is believed and we always deliver on what we say we're going to deliver. We've spent a lot of time, effort and money on this application. We really don't want to waste our time or ratepayers' money appealing the council's recommendation if we can resolve it, which we believe we can and have done with the latest plans. From our vast experience running pubs, I'll talk through how we operate some of the areas of contention so that the panel can gain comfort that these won't cause parking concerns. We intentionally adjusted our business model in response to council's concerns over car parking and even engaged a new, very experienced traffic firm, even though our original consultant believed our previous plans were satisfactory. Any condition the council or panel puts on this approval will form part of the plan of management, which becomes a licence condition. This is then enforced by the police and liquor and gaming officers. under strict fines and or applications against our licence. Thus, there is no fear that the conditions are not going to be adhered to. As the panel would be aware, any changes to these plans would have to come back to council for their approval. We run a courtesy bus, unlike most venues, at all our venues, and this is operating the whole time the hotel is open. The use of Ubers, driving services such as You Drink, We Drive, and our bus are promoted heavily throughout our venue to encourage a safety-first approach. Our internal kids' play area is clearly an ancillary use and doesn't generate car parking. We operate these for internally for children under five so that parents can monitor visually the whole time. We have operated several of these and we don't allow children at our venue after 10 p.m. In regards to the bistro, we operate a buzzer system whereby customers come and collect their food. It's impossible to have seating in these areas as it's such a busy thoroughfare and it's normally staffed with two staff at the kitchen pass facing customers collecting meals at all times we're open during service. Thinking this is a space that generates car parking is just a lack of understanding of how we operate the pubs. We even own part of a company called ClevaQ, which is a buzzer system to further emphasise our intentions on how we're going to operate this bistro. The brewery and its operations is something we are very familiar with. We have built and operated two breweries in the past. After feedback from council on car parking, we decided to dedicate the whole area to brewery and storage and future-proof it for growth. In the past, at our venue at the Australian Brewery, I had to apply three times to expand the brewing area due to our growth. We ended up in all of Dan Murphy's around Australia and exporting to six different countries. I've taken the CEO of Carlton United Breweries to this site and we're going to do a joint venture with us in this brewery and invest in Camden. The significance of this cannot be missed and understated. This will be a wonderful win for the Camden area, not just for promotion, but for jobs and training. And this area of the brewery is easily conditioned to say it's not a public area. Finally, I'll address the gaming room. By law, pubs are only allowed 30 poker machines as a maximum. We are happy to condition the room to a maximum of 30 patrons. We've just come through COVID and social distancing. During that time, I increased three of my gaming rooms to above 250 square metres in order to comply with social distancing. For me, not to plan for that in a new pub design is just bad business. This is a room that's built for comfort. From an operation point of view, the room is always staffed, and patrons are not allowed in the room unless they're playing a machine. Hence, our ease to comply with the condition of 30 patrons maximum. Financially, just for the panel's knowledge, the room performs better when we don't allow non-players in the room. And so from a business point of view, across the whole industry, this is the standard practice. But for us as Momento, it's actually a KPI for our management team at all our venues. Not only that, our busiest times for gaming are not during peak times of food and beverage and are normally early on in the week and during the daytime. This is easily proven by our take sheets. During peak times, gaming is an ancillary use as patrons are coming to the site for other activities. We want to build a beautiful venue that all stakeholders will be proud of. We believe the car parking issues can be sorted with conditions and with our latest plans and our business model. And we urge the panel to either approve or defer the application so that any council issues can be easily conditioned. And from our experience, this will be the best outcome for all parties. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcelo. Questions from the panel members?
No, thank you.
Questions? I've got a couple of questions. The patron numbers, as I understand it, the 650 maximum. Has that changed at all since?
Yes, we have. We originally applied for 800, I believe.
And since you've excluded those particular parts of the floor area from as being public areas, you've reduced it to 650, is that
correct?
Is that right? Okay.
And we were happy, and earlier on we actually asked council for a number that they would be comfortable to support.
And you mentioned that you don't allow non-players in the gaming room.
Correct.
How is that policed in an operational sense?
So we have the rooms are fully staffed, and the staff police that and ask people that are in there for other reasons not to move to other areas of the hotel. Literally on at our pubs during other ancillary use times, there's even security that roam that area as well at night time.
So there's only going to be 30 gaming machines in the gaming
room. That's the maximum by law any hotel's allowed to have, hence the reason why we're comfortable to limit that to 30 people. So whether it's a 100 square metre room or 300, it's still the same. It's just more comfort and we're future-proofing it if we ever have to be in this social distancing issue again.
And and you say that typically the people in the gaming room are not in addition to the people in the public areas. Is that right? That's ancillary.
It's different points in time. So our busiest time for people that are coming for the use of the gaming room solely is during the midweek or daytime. Yeah, the machines are being used as an ancillary use when we're in our busier periods for the rest of our food and beverage. And generally, our take is lower, and we can easily prove that it's lower during those times.
Okay. And throughout these negotiations of relating to the car parking numbers, have you considered at all a physical reduction in the floor area to comply with the car parking numbers?
Well, we believe we had made a physical reduction, so both by, you know, say taking out and putting in a garden and using a, you know, paddock to plate type concept similar to a Chiswick restaurant in the city, which you know people might be aware of, and of using the rest of that space that was originally going to be used for patrons as storage area for future growth of the brewery. Hence the reason why we went to CUB and said, look, let's do a JV on a much bigger brewery in this site. So something that we can build for the future.
And the JV with CUB, that involves the brew house being used for the manufacture of beer, is that
correct,
right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So, we'll have our own beers for Camden, which we'll develop a brand for this area, Oran Park. And on top of that, they'll be brewing, the brand they want to brew out of there is Bolter.
And under the previous design, that brew house was used as a public area and not a brewing area?
There was a small part used as a public area, and then it was going to, as for the brew house area, and then there was a public area in there including a bar, and then we changed our business model and said, okay, now, you know, based on car parking, we'll make that all of that for future growth of the brewery instead.
Right.
And that's hence, and we went to CUB and said, well, it's going to be bigger than we originally planned, and let's do this together.
Okay. Any questions that have arisen?
Yeah. Sorry, just one question. I'm looking at the indoor kids area and I can't see, well, it might be just a little bit hard to understand architecturally, what form of walls does that have around it? It doesn't have solid walls like the other rooms.
No, I don't know the exact things, the form of wall we'll use, but basically we need for parents to be able to see their kids through that. So it'll either be that soft mesh that you can see through, and with the padded type of, you know, for
glass,
young kids.
Or glass.
Or glass, yeah.
Okay. Right, but it's a physical room.
Correct.
Any other questions?
No, that's it. Thank you.
No other questions? Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Marcelo. I assume there's no other people in the audience who wish to make a representation to us on that item? No? Okay. Well, I might call the second item now. I don't have anyone listed to speak on the second item. It's a council development application. It's construction of a pedestrian bridge over Colombo Creek with associated shared pathways, landscaping, tree removal at 297 South Circuit, Oran Park. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. Are there any council officers wish to address the panel on that item? No? Okay. Okay then, well that concludes the public part of this meeting. As I said, we'll now adjourn in private, prepare our minutes, which will include our decision on the development applications, which will be made public within 48 hours on the council's website. Thank you very much.